This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Goodman is hit to center, going back Scott to the wall. He'll have to watch it go. Touch him all time. Hunter Goodman, a two-run pinch hit homer. And the Rockies take the lead 6-5.
The Colorado Rockies don't look now, but after an eight-game losing streak, they beat the Cardinals yesterday. They take the series again, and I believe they have a winning record against Nolan Arenado's baseball club at this stage. Rockies win 6-5. Hunter Goodman with another big time play for the Rocks. He became the first Rockies player to hit a go ahead pinch hit homer in the ninth inning or later since Ryan McMahon back on September 9th, 2021, that was at Philadelphia. So, one, two, three. Three more dubs, Michael. Three more dubs, and I can cut my hair. People are actually asking me if I am going to shave the beard. Like I don't think it looks good. It's out of control. I can't stop messing with it. It's ridiculous, but I don't know. I do kind of like it. I think it looks goofy, but it's kind of cool having a beard. I feel wiser now. Oh, nope. Can't hear you, Mike. Can't hear you, Mike.
Sorry.
Oh, there we go.
We were doing some tests before the show, so yeah. Things were a little wacky.
When you get
your hair cut,
yeah.
I think what you need to do is you need to experiment on the beard. Just say, let's cut it just a little bit. Okay, just a little bit down. Okay, perfect. And decide, so you need to take some time on the face and the head.
Well, I for sure need to trim it, because the rule was you couldn't even, if you have, random hairs just trying to jump off of your face, we're not supposed to trim that. Although I think Tanner, either he's stopped growing it, it's not growing anymore, or he's been cheating and trimming that beard once in a while.
Well, actually, what he's been doing is he's been gluing hair
on, he's been adding
and
hair.
He's just run out of animals.
I tell you what, you know what sucked yesterday? So I was at CSU practice. I guess it was their second scrimmage of fall camp. And of course, it's inside Canvas Stadium out there on the field. It was warm. And I had like a business meeting afterwards. So I actually wore like a long sleeve dress shirt out there. The hair, I put product in my hair. I do. I have to. Otherwise, it's very, very thin hair is what I have. And it just feathers out in kind of a feathery fro if I don't put something in it. Well, I'm sweating all the product out of it while I'm standing there at practice. And so then it just starts to become this fluffy mess. And I would just have to go to the bathroom, get some water, comb back over it. And I'm like, this is great. Because it was also, it wasn't like in years past, but it was CSU football media day. But it wasn't really media day, because normally we would set up, like the coaches would come to the podium, and then a couple of players, and then maybe the volleyball coach, and then the even the athletic director. Yesterday was just talking to Jay Norvell on the side of the field, which was great for me because practice went a little bit longer, and I needed to get going anyway, so it was quick. But I was dying yesterday. And it's hard to explain. Like, people that hadn't seen me in a while had to do like a double take. Like, Brady? I was like, seriously, does it look that different? I mean, you guys see me every day and you've seen it grow. But I guess if the last time you saw me, I got the half inch on the side, fade up top, spiky, maybe a little stubble, but not much. It is quite the change.
What about the people who hadn't seen you in a while and hadn't listened to your show and didn't know about this? Were any of them were like, Brady, do you need money?
Yeah.
Well, you could have said yes.
Try to explain it to people. It was cool, though, yesterday. Had a, I won't say who because he was there incognito, but I had a player's dad come up to me yesterday. I'm guessing he recognized the beard, Mike. And he comes up to me and says, "Are you Brady Hull?" And I'm like, "Yes, I am. No autographs, please. I'm working." And it was really cool because he's like, "Dude, I'm a big fan of your show. I love it. Awesome. Great to catch up with this person." But he was like, "Oh, yeah, and I see the beard's really full." So it's cool because people are, like, following along with us on this journey, Tanner and I. And we're almost there. I was a little worried before, you know, Kyle Freeland got this thing started, was that on Tuesday, and had the shutout, was exceptional. I mean, what he ended up, Kyle Freeland's not like a guy that, he's going to go down as probably one of the top pitchers of all time for the Rockies, but that's not always like, it's not a lot of competition there. But he got his 900th strikeout on Tuesday night, and then you had Hunter Goodman magic, plus you had the rookie connection there yesterday. I mean, the Rockies just kept 12 hits for this team. They were kind of just killing the Cardinals by death by a thousand paper cuts. I mean, you had Karros, a rookie, Fernandez, a rookie, and Fulford, a rookie. Karros had two hits yesterday. Fernandez had a hit. And Fulford had two RBI. So that was a very unconventional way of winning a baseball game, but they just kept staying in it. It was 2-0 St. Louis. The Rockies scored one in the fourth. St. Louis got it back in the fourth, and then the Rockies got another one. St. Louis scored two in the fifth, and then the Cardinals wouldn't score the rest of the game. The Rocks put together two more in the sixth and the seventh, and then you had the two-run homer by Hunter Goodman to give the Rockies the 6-5 win. And I'm not paying attention to this to the record. It's ugly. All I'm focused on is 35. I will admit, once they hit 35, and if they do it relatively soon, it's going to kind of take my interest out. Because now, I mean, there is an interest in the Rockies right now. It's, can you avoid becoming the worst team in modern era baseball history? So there is that to pay attention to. But when we started this, it was during the Marlins series. And the reason Tanner was already doing something like this. He was like, "I'm not going to shave until they win a series." And so I like that kind of stuff. You know, bets that don't cost money, but they can make me look like an idiot or whatever, and people can get engaged and have fun making fun of me. That's great. I enjoy that. So after Tanner's bet, I said, you know what? I did a poll. I said, I'm not going to shave or cut my hair until the Rockies win 20, 25, 30, or 35. And of course, everybody voted for the high number, 35. Figured that would be the case. But it did give me a reason to be more interested and invested in this team. You know, I'm a sports talk show host. I have no parameters of what I'm going to talk to every day. No one is coming into our prep meetings and saying, "Brady, you have to make sure you hit this every day or you hit this." I go with the interesting stories. And the Rockies, even though they're flirting with bad history, I don't know that a lot of people want to listen to 3 hours of Rockies talk. I think Tanner Schwint might be the only one. So for me, it was, all right, I could either do this or we could spend a lot of time going over Broncos training camp stuff, which is fine, but it's not me. That's not my 3-hour show. The thing we pride ourselves on with this program is mixing it up, talking a little bit about everything, Colorado State and Colorado and UNC and the college football scene, the Nuggets, the Avs, the Rockies. I'm not going to give you 3 hours of fourth string left tackle for the Denver Broncos and how he might be adjusting to training camp. That's all good stuff, but I know that's what sets this show apart from other shows is that we really do add the college scene to this program. We really do get deep into Denver Nuggets talk and college basketball. So I wanted to be able to talk a little Rockies, but I'm telling you, sitting down after my kiddo goes to bed and I'm winding down the day, sitting down turning on a Rockies game, as opposed to pretty much anything else, was just not that appealing, watching them lose game after game. But there's guys I'm rooting for. I mean, I know Tanner and Brian were talking about Mr. Schmidt today, the GM for the Rockies. We all kind of think he's on his way out. That you can't have a historically bad season and run it back with the same crew. Something's got to change. But Tanner noted the trade for Tyler Freeman, getting rid of Nolan Jones, trading for Tyler Freeman. Some of these rookies that were playing well. Mickey Moniak has been a really good player. Hunter Goodman. Nobody really knew who Hunter Goodman was to start this season, and guy ended up being an all-star, and he's actually playing like an all-star. It's not just he's the chosen one for the Rockies. He's actually playing like it. In a year that's been a down year offensively for a guy like Doyle, and Tovar's missed a lot of time with injuries, so other guys have stepped up. So I don't know what this means for the future, but, and I agree, Go Pokes texting in, fair to say the Rocks have significantly improved since the break. Yeah, they're still having those stretches there where they look really, really bad. But, you know, since the All-Star break, they were 22 at 22 wins, and they're now sitting at 32 wins. So since the All-Star break, you're seeing, I mean, that 8-game losing streak, it's hard to say take that out, but the 8-game losing streak, outside of that, the Rockies were playing 500 or maybe a little better than 500 baseball. So I agree, yeah. Outside of the Toronto series and the Diamondback series, it's been much better since the break. Eastside Chris, maybe a curved tobacco pipe would accentuate the beard look, a noble, experienced profile. Yeah, I could get a tobacco pipe. I don't really smoke. When I say I don't really smoke, I don't smoke, but a pipe would be cool. I could just keep, I don't have to put any tobacco in it. I could just make it look like I have a pipe. Yeah, we could do that.
You could get one of those ones that blows bubbles.
Yeah. I could do that. Those are cool. One of those corn pipes.
Yeah, corn cob pipes.
Corn cob pipes. My dad had one of those. My dad used to keep pipes in the tractors because my grandpa, my dad, whatever. They didn't really smoke, but when you're in the tractor, you're bored as hell, so you're doing something. So they would smoke pipes.
And you have one of those pipes, and you can point with the mouthpiece, and you can just, yes, I agree with your opinion.
Mm-hmm. I would like to do that.
With a pipe, you feel smarter and better.
Where do I find a good pipe?
I don't know.
Is there any pipe store? Not like, you know, bong pipes, but just...
Theinternet.com.
Like a cool-looking, wisdom-telling type pipe. Something that says, whoa, that guy is a deep thinker. He has a really thick beard. He's got long hair. He's
thick
clearly
beard,
confident in himself.
Brain.
And now he's smoking a pipe and he's thinking of things. You can tell he's being thoughtful right now. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I didn't get a poll question up, a Lorado Whiskey poll question of the day. Hooligans, help me out. What's on your mind? Give me a good poll question. It's August 14th. The big news is obviously we're knee-deep into Broncos training camp. We got another preseason game coming up this weekend, Saturday night, against the Cardinals. We got Rockies trying to avoid bad history. I was at CSU practice yesterday. I'm going to UNC practice tomorrow morning. So we got college football stuff. What is a big question on your mind that we could turn into the Lorado Whiskey poll question of the day?
Does it have to be sports?
Yes.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, piece of clothing or like physical token can Brady have that will make him look smart?
No, that's not a poll question because you couldn't add. I don't know. Give me a sport. What's on your mind? What kind of questions do you have about the Broncos this year?
How great will their defense be compared to last year? Because I think their corners are going to be amazing. That was, in my opinion, the greatest weakness that they had last year. Like, one injury showed the weakness that they had at corner. Now, I think you have an extra person there where if you have one injury, we're good.
That's not a bad one. Will this defense be better than last year's defense? Maybe. Here's another good one from Go Pokes. What Colorado College team will have the best football record this year? Colorado, Colorado State, Northern Colorado, or Air Force?
Are we talking all the colleges? Because we could say Mines. Don't they have a football team?
Yeah, but they're not.
CSU Pueblo?
Yeah, I'm going D1 at least. Because that's what I talk about. Air Force gets thrown into the mix. I don't talk Air Force a lot because we're in Northern Colorado and it's not really part of that, right? So, but Air Force is in the Mountain West and I like Troy Calhoun and I like their style of football. I think the triple option is fascinating to me, and the fact that teams, even really good teams, stay up all night thinking about how to stop Air Force. And GoPoke says, I'll take Air Force. I think so. I think CU and CSU are going to be around the 500 mark. UNC is probably going to be under 500, but I would take 4 wins from them. That would be 3 wins would be a big-time improvement.
I would say for UNC, and I don't know what their schedule is, but for UNC, they always just seem to schedule hard teams for some reason. I'd schedule cupcakes. But that's just me.
They have Shadron State to start the season. They should win that game. That should be a win. That should be Ed Lamb's second win of his UNC career.
I think they should have 4 wins this season.
That would be a huge improvement. I mean, I know Ed Lamb's probably not thinking like that, but if you can go from 0 to 1 to 4, that's progress.
He seems like the type of guy who's thinking more weekly. Like, once the season starts, he's thinking weekly.
That's all coaches do. Or at least they tell you that. It's one day at a time.
Some of those coaches, they're like, yeah, one day at a time, but we're playing a weak team this week, so let's think about the next team.
Yeah.
You can't overlook those weaker Division II teams. They still have talent.
Oh, yeah, you can't overlook them. And certainly UNC is in no spot to overlook any team. But I do feel like Air Force is... CU, I mean, I'll be real honest. I haven't jumped in as much on the buff side of things. But CSU, I don't know, man. I mean, how much can you tell from a scrimmage? I've been to 2 practices so far. I like Jackson Warren. I think that guy's going to be great. BFN, I don't know. Like Justin Marshall, had a chance to catch up with him yesterday. Jalen Dupree, I like the running backs. I know Jay Norvell likes the running backs. He talked about it yesterday. Wide receivers, there's guys like Armani Winfield. And I just have this, I hope I'm wrong, because I'm going to go through and give my picks. I'm going to go through the Broncos schedule and all that stuff, but I just have this bad feeling that we're looking around the 5 to 6, maybe 7 win mark. But, you know, at receiver, you got like Armani Winfield, Jordan Ross. Coach Norvell was really, that was like one of the first guys he picked up. Tommy Maher, I think he could be a good player. I like his story too, but it's so tough in this day and age to really hone in. So we got Kevin Lytle coming up on the show today from the Coloradoan. Rams Weekly will make its return in 2 weeks, I believe. So I'm excited about that. Thanks to Miranda Simpson at State Farm Insurance. Kyle Bell, great friend of mine, former running back for the CSU Rams. I feel like I'm a pretty good in shape dude. I lift weights and, you know, for my age, whatever. Then I go see Kyle Bell, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I am a slob. That human looks like he could put on shoulder pads and go play today. So Kyle Bell, stud running back for CSU back in the day, local guy, he's going to join me. CSU invited him out yesterday, and I want to go through what that was like, because Kyle and I talked years ago, probably before the Adazio era, where it was kind of a feeling of, yeah, there's not a lot of reaching out to former players and getting them involved. And it does seem like that has turned a corner big time. So 24 minutes after the hour, Mike, we'll take a short break here. Kevin will join me at the bottom of the hour. More CSU Rams talk. We got top stories of the day. Michael Porter Jr. said something that I have been saying for a very long time, just how easy it is to to mess with the gambling system, especially if you're a player. So we're going to get to some of his comments later on. Opponent preview. I got the Broncos 2-0 so far. Does that continue when they, week three, when they make a trip to take on AFC West rival in the Los Angeles Chargers Sunday, September 21st? Are they going 3-0? I'll tell you later on in the program. It's the whole show. Just getting started. We'll be right back.
Tonight at 5 to hear all about Fort Collins Lambkins football. Brought to you by Backus and Shanker.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Yeah, big hub texting in. Also, don't touch the rabbits out there in Fort Collins. Did you hear about that? The rabbits got, like, stuff growing out of their faces in Fort Collins. There's been some rabbits finally look like aliens.
Yeah, that's that's what I woke up to. That's what my alarm clock woke me up to. I'm like, Tanner, why do you have to mention crazy, depressing things in the morning?
They're creepy looking, man. Apparently they don't do any harm to your dog or you if you come in contact with one, but I'm good. I see one of those and I am locking the doors.
Are we allowed to shoot them on sight?
I don't know. Probably not. They say they're harmless, so probably not, I would imagine. But I see a lot of rabbits in my backyard now, Mike. A lot of them. If I start seeing one of these Stranger Things kind of deals coming at me, I'm good. I'm going to battle. We got to defend the family. My dog won't do anything. My dog will look at it and go, "Oh, are you? Can I cuddle you? I'd like to do that."
By the way, Stranger Things is coming out in 3 parts this time instead of 2.
That's how they get you. So you can't just subscribe to a month of Netflix because it's like a 3-month deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very smart. It's
very smart, but they also took way too long in between the last season and now. I've lost all. They've lost all momentum in my eyes.
Yeah, now they're starting to look like adults instead of teenagers.
Yeah, they're
so
like
it's weird.
40 now. 32 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and his take on CSU, their second scrimmage yesterday. We'll talk to Kevin next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Colorado State getting a chance to go out and watch scrimmage number 2, I believe, yesterday. I was kind of unplugged for a while. Moving, growing a beard out, all of those things kept me pretty distracted. But good to be out there taking in some football action, even though it was 9,000 degrees. Kevin Lytle is joining me now. He is our Colorado State Rams insider. Seriously, nobody does it better when it comes to covering this team backwards and front. So we always appreciate Mr. Lytle joining us. But Kevin, I have a really serious question to ask you first before we get into this, okay?
Yeah, I figured we would start with the biggest stuff.
Yeah. Why do they call it fall camp when it's 9,000 degrees out there?
Yeah, no, that's I've had a few people point that one out too. I call it preseason writing. But yeah, it's not fall. It does not feel like fall.
It's not fall.
I was super dehydrated yesterday. I was just standing there. So
dude, that was not even until late September.
Yeah. Dynamite drop in there, Mike. It was uncomfortable out there, Kevin. I mean, for us, like, we're not out there to sweat. These guys are sweating. They're getting used to it. They're fine. But when you're dressed to not sweat, sweating is a terrible thing.
Yeah, it was definitely very toasty out there. That's for sure.
What kind of stood out to you yesterday? These are always tough because you're seeing a lot of situational stuff. You're not, like, actually seeing a full-on game, like, oh, we're going to scrimmage, yeah, ones and twos, that kind of thing. You're just seeing different situations, and of course, this thing went a little long yesterday. They decided to run an overtime period. Anything in particular really creep out to you based off of yesterday's scrimmage?
Yeah, I think that's a good point of, I think people see that and assume it's kind of just a game, but it rarely is, especially in these days. You just hit less and less in camp because, you know, you're protecting yourselves. You don't want to have your own team injuring your own guys. I think especially yesterday, a lot of situational work. You mentioned sort of the overtime period. They did red zone periods, a bunch of red zone periods, I would say, some 4-minute periods. I think we got a little bit more ones on ones than maybe we'd seen. So that was fun. Certainly a lot of chatter back and forth between those groups. You can see the competitiveness. Yeah, I know everyone's always looking for, you know, who won, quote unquote. I don't think there's a clear side that was, you know, way better than the other. But it's good situational work because Jay Norvell keeps harping on that. You know, that's what a lot of games last year came down to, and, you know, they reckon and are probably right that it'll be the case this year.
Did yesterday's scrimmage do anything for you in terms of, because I know you were talking to Tanner and Brian the other day on your season, your win total prediction and kind of where you're sitting. When you walked away from Canvas yesterday, did you think that team might be better than I think, or maybe the other way around?
You know, I'm not sure the scrimmage more the conversations with some players after, you know, it was media day. So we got to chat to a lot of different players. And again, everyone, you know, I'm not naive. Everyone is positive in August. Everyone is excited, but especially talking defensive players. There seems to be a very significant buy-in and just an increased level of talent, too, on this defensive side of the ball. And I think that's your game changer right there. I mean, if Tyson Summers' defense is top or number two, you know, right up there near the top in, you know, turnovers forced, that changes the equation for CSU. So, again, we'll see. It's hard to tell a little bit. That's one of the funny things in these scrimmages. You know, the quarterbacks obviously cannot get hit. So defense will fly through, and they'll be raising their hands saying, that was a sack, that was a sack. Offense say, nope, that was a completion. He got off in time. So it's hard to tell some of those. But if the defense is really good, and I can see a way it could be, that is a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, even like from the start of this thing, when you're seeing the kickoff, you know, the returner looks like the best returner in the history of the world because he's busting through everybody, but they're not allowed to tackle and bring him down. And some of them are have the pads and all that stuff too. So, yeah, you have to really be careful. You have to take everything kind of with a grain of salt.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, you're learning bits and pieces, not a whole picture, I think is the best way to describe what we see right now.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, on the one or two more on the personnel side of things, I mean, we can talk about tight ends and, you know, running backs and what that's going to look like this year for this team, the offensive line, the defense, as you mentioned. But this whole thing, as it has been for the last couple of years, it all comes back to Braden Faller-Nicolosi. This guy has certainly been a popular quarterback. You know, the battles between CU, the comments said, the stuff around the NIL dollars, the K-State connection there. He's certainly been a well-covered quarterback, I should say. But at the end of the day, it all comes back to, can he take that next step and really lead this team forward in this extremely important season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a legacy-defining season for BFN. He's about 2,700 yards shy of Garrett Grayson for the all-time passing record at CSU. I believe he's on path for the all-time wins record. I need to double-check that one. But, you know, there are some records that he could break this year. And I think even with that, there's somewhat jury out on him from a lot of fans of, yeah, he can make some of the big-time throws, but is he a superstar? And this is his year to really prove that. You know, I think he's one of, if not the most experienced G5 quarterbacks. There are very few G5s that can keep a starter for 3 years. So that should be good. Jay Norvell said earlier in camp, you know, early on, BFN was the skateboard kid running around flipping everyone off, and he dealt with some of that immaturity to wait for the payoff now. So it's time to get that payoff.
Yeah, well, I'm curious to see how he does and kind of who some of these receivers are that will step up. Kevin, I throw my rapid-fire questions at you via email on Mondays typically, and one of the things I asked on the player side of it was like the best player on CSU's football roster as of right now, and you got Jaquez Evans, I believe that's how we're saying it. Jay Norvell went out of his way to talk about him too, so it would seem that you're right on point there, discussing maybe who looks to be the best player on the team at this point.
Yeah, he should be a really dynamic pass rusher. I think he's more than just a pass rusher too. I think he can do a lot of other things within the defense, but you know, he had a couple pretty awesome seasons under Tyson Summers at Western Kentucky before injury derailed him at Baylor last year, but he looks good again. And, you know, he said he feels very comfortable in the Summers defense. So yeah, I think he's a guy that, again, if CSU is going to have a really good year, probably need Donut, as they know him, or as they call him, to have a really strong season. You know, you're talking pretty high sack totals, I think.
Yeah, well, and obviously big shoes to fill. That's been a pretty good position over the years for Colorado State, or at least somebody that's, you know, aggressive and getting after the quarterback.
Yeah, definitely. CSU's had a number of good pass rushers. And yeah, they need him to be the next in line there. And again, I'll be a little surprised if he's not, but you never know for sure. But he looks really good. He's a leader type too, I think, knowing the defense. He's, what, like a fifth-year guy now in college, so he's very experienced too. He's one of those guys that you're going to hear from a lot, both on and off the field.
Kevin, before we let you slide out, man, we're looking at the legal battle between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, and another lawsuit type thing is going on between, and CSU is one of those teams, Boise State and Utah State, I believe, having issues with adding Grand Canyon this season, and then claiming that the Mountain West is withholding money from what Boise State earned in the playoffs from the exiting teams. And this is all crazy to me at this point in time, but I would imagine in their contracts, there's stuff that says while you're in the conference, you're owed this amount of money. Same goes for the exit fees and all that. So it just sounds like nobody is living up to what's written down in papers that they signed.
Yeah, definitely. Basically, lawyers on each side are trying to pretty heavily negotiate what all of it means. It's super complicated. Any, you know, sort of layperson that sits here and says they know how it's going to come out is lying or disingenuous. I mean, I won't name them, but I saw a column from someone that covers a Mountain West team that basically said, you know, oh, this is a joke of a lawsuit, it has zero chance. It's like, well, I have no idea what chance it has, but I don't know how this person would know, because I think their lead was, I'm not a lawyer. So that's, you know, it's boring and bland, but that's always my answer. I don't know, but people are paid a whole ton of money, and CSU has super high-powered lawyers working on this, seem to think there's a fight to be had here. So it's just getting messier and messier.
One of the other things I asked you, too, because you had a chance to catch up with John Weber last week, Kevin, and man, you answered this, you know, aggression. I said, what's kind of the big takeaway from your chat? And that was the first thing you wrote, and that's what I've been saying, too. Like, he just seems like the complete opposite of Joe Parker. He is very active. They're constantly moving, whether that's in-game promotion stuff, legal stuff, what have you. It seems like he's on top of all of it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't mean to turn this into a, you know, a Joe Parker bash, but it's drastically different. You know, Joe Parker rarely spoke, and when he did, it was usually about temper expectations. You know, here are the things we're fighting against and why it's really hard to live in our part of the college sports world, and, you know, sort of, you know, the wet blanket vibe. And John Weber and the others in that admin are very aggressive on their belief in what CSU can do. Now, that also doesn't guarantee success either. You know, you can talk a great game, but there has to be a lot of backing. I think we've seen some successes there, but I think there are some that, you know, TBD to see what's going to be in the future. But just the aggression and belief is just a very, very different tone than what it was under the previous regime.
Yeah, no question about it. Kevin, appreciate you as always. Looking forward to getting you back in studio too for Rams Weekly, where we can sit down for a full hour and discuss not only the on-the-field stuff each and every week, but being able to follow along with the legal journey between the Mountain West and the Pac-12. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all happening now.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Good seeing you yesterday, and we'll catch up soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And yeah, because I asked him, I said, who will win the legal battle, the Pac-12 or the Mountain West? And he said, he answered this, unlike a game, it's doubtful there would be a clear winner. My guess is still some type of settlement that both sides can claim as a win. And that's kind of where I'm leaning, honestly, is we're going to get to the point where both sides are probably wrong, and then both sides are going to come out of this saying that they were right. You know, it's to me, it is interesting, it's fascinating, but it's also kind of like, I mean, come on. You guys both agreed to things that maybe, potentially, you're both not honoring, and you're fighting over that. So we'll see who comes out the other side. Top stories of the day coming up. We've got a Big 12 story. An interesting former Nuggets mascot story coming up as well. Speaking of former Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr. had some really fascinating comments about the gambling world and how players are involved in it. And I want to get to that later on in the show. And more stuff from Jay Norvell at yesterday's scrimmage. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We do it all. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Tune in to KFKA tonight at 5 to hear all about Fort Collins Lambkins football. Brought to you by Backus and Shanker.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
No, it was good today. We didn't go live, but we got a lot of game situations. Really thought it was cleaner. Not as many penalties, not as many foolish penalties, pre-snap penalties, post-snap penalties. That was very good. We really emphasized a lot of end-of-game situations. So some usual situations like 4 minute, 2 minute. We did overtime today. So just exposing our players to all the things that are going to happen at the end of games that we need to be sharp on to win.
There's Jay Norvell, Colorado State Rams head football coach. Scrimmages are weird because it's not like people hear scrimmage and you think, oh, they're just going to play like almost like a game. You know, maybe not as long, but they're just going to go back and forth. It's pretty much just putting your team in situations that a defense typically knows, okay, what they've been running, and a lot of times the defense kind of already knows what's coming. So it's hard to walk away and go, wow, I don't know. Because I thought offensively, I mean, nothing popped for me. Jackson Warren, kind of. Coach Norvell talked about him a little bit. I know on the special teams side, Tommy Maher made a couple of cool plays, but I don't walk away feeling any kind of way. And that's the reason I go to practice, is get out there and know the players and know the roster, know the depth chart. I don't typically walk out of practice and think, yeah, that team's bad. I have been to a lot of practices in college basketball, college football, and I've never walked away having one strong feeling of, yeah, this team's going to be freaking good, or this team's going to struggle. Maybe a player or two you kind of lean on to, and you're like, okay, that's the guy. Watch out for him. But there was really none of that. I didn't have bad or good. I know there were some communication stuff, like with the clock person yesterday, trying to get that figured out. Players were getting frustrated, wanting to know a call coming in, but they were still trying to get the clock figured out. But that's not, luckily, you don't have to worry about, you have to manage the clock, but the people that are running the clock will be different once it's game day. So that was one thing. Coach got hot a couple of times, just couldn't get a play in on time, had to call timeout with the second unit, but I didn't see any of that really going on with BFN. Coach talked about like names that he just brought up out of nowhere in the interviews. It was like Jordan Ross, wide receiver. He talked a lot about Jackson Warren. He talked a lot about Jalen Dupree and Justin Marshall at running back. on the defensive side. Donut, he's the first name, and that's who Kevin's kind of thinking is the best player on this team, defensive end. Jaquez Evans, I think, or we'll just call him Donut. Kind of one of the guys. I actually like Aiden Hector has been on this team for a couple of years now. He was kind of in that triad with like Jack Howell and Henry Blackburn. I think he's going to be a good player. I'm excited to see what he does at that nickelback position another year in. So, yeah, more on that coming up. Kyle Bell's going to join me, former running back for Colorado State. I really want to talk to him about like the process of CSU working with him, getting him out there, because he wasn't just there to watch practice. He went on the full tour, checked everything out. So, Kyle, great friend of mine, stud of a human. We're going to talk to him coming up. Top stories of the day first, though. Interesting stories. Nuggets mascot drama? Or former mascot drama? We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.